This is Weekend Ozarks at Large for Sunday, November 4th, 2012. I'm Christina Thomas. Theater Squared's annual Gala for Education, presenting the 2012 Arts Advocate Award to Denise and Hershey Garner, will take place Thursday, November 15th at 6:30 p.m. The event, co-chaired by Lucy Arnez and Lawrence Luckinville, will benefit the theater's annual outreach to over 10,000 students and teachers. Tickets and more information available at theater2.org or by calling 445-6333. When you separate and teach little boys from little girls in a public classroom, do they act differently? And more important, do they learn differently? A growing number of Arkansas public school districts, including several in Northwest Arkansas, are teaching single-gender classes. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich attends one elementary school to learn more.
Cafeteria at Southside Elementary in Salem Springs is jammed with children enjoying cheese pizza for lunch. Here, boys and girls sit together, but when lunch is over, nearly half of them file into single-gender classes. Teacher Tammy Murray has instructed an all-boys class of fourth graders, one of 17 single-gender classrooms in the district, for the past 4 years, and she loves it.
You enjoy the stress. You don't have... thrill seekers enjoy the stress of things, and so I kind of think of ourselves as thrill seekers. We like the stress of the energy that the boys give us.
And results from the first year her all-boys class began to meet were really encouraging, she said.
100% growth. Every one of our students had made growth that year. And we have 4 points higher than the mixed classes for proficiency. So we have just a slight variation in our benchmark data.
Improving proficiency is what's leading more Arkansas school districts to adopt single-gender classrooms. Superintendents reported 72 such classes across 11 districts for this report, a preliminary tally. Tammy Murray and her colleagues teach self-contained classes, all the core subjects, to the same kids every day, same classroom. But she's taking things a step further and looping classes.
Okay, looping is the act of taking one class and staying with them through one, two, or more grades. Studies are showing what we learned, it's ideal if they'll loop three grades, but that's a lot of curriculum for a teacher to know.
By advancing to the next grade level with their students, teachers can pick up with them immediately every fall rather than having to assess a new flock of kids. Research on looping is scant, but evidence suggests that students score higher in reading, language arts, and math. So how does Tammy Murray keep pace with a pack of 28 little boys every single day for several years in a row?
It's exactly the same curriculum. It's just a matter of getting up and moving. For boys, move, 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 move. They can stand if they want to. They stand at the counter if they need to. They'll stand with a clipboard if they need to. They'll lay on the floor if they need to. We go outside, do lots of running. If you get a correct answer, you can run to the tree and come back. Just lots of movement.
Now compare that kinetic classroom scene to Julie McCraddock's all-girl fourth grade class next door.
Oh, that armor on like a knight. That would be hard, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Javelin. What did you learn?
The girls take turns talking about a book they're reading on ancient Greek cultural practices. Evidence suggests that little girls tend to be more assertive when boys are not present. Tammy Murray's boys are taking a break from the books and gym class. The entire school is sexually segregated for PE, which is tradition. But do the students prefer being separated during core courses?
They wouldn't be in here if they weren't into it, because they have the option to leave at any point, really. Parents have the option to pull out any time they want. They're in. They seem to be into it.
And do you have a preponderance of students and parents who want to be in the single-sex classrooms?
Yeah. We're always full.
Southside Elementary in Salem Springs is among a growing number of public schools nationwide experimenting with single-gender education. Outlawed in 1972 under Title IX of the Higher Education Act, single-gender classrooms were perceived as discriminatory. But 30 years later, gender-oriented classrooms were permitted under No Child Left Behind, which funded and encouraged innovation. According to the advocacy group, the National Association for Single-Sex Public Education, the number of public schools with single-gender classrooms has increased from 12 a decade ago to 508 nationwide. Even the U.S. Department of Education claims single-gender learning can boost achievement, reduce distractions, and improve behavioral interactions between both teachers and students, as well as among students. But empirical research is lacking, says Professor Sandra Stotsky.
There are teachers who have taught little boys and teachers who've taught little girls who claim that there are some differences in the way little boys learn and how they act in a classroom, and same with girls, so that there is some idea of gender-specific pedagogy.
Pedagogy meaning method or practice. A noted scholar in the Department of Education Reform at the University of Arkansas and an expert on standards for teacher education, licensure, and school curriculum, Professor Stotsky and her research team collected data from two elementary schools which had single-sex classrooms, in Springdale and in Fort Smith, the first study of its kind. She also observed same-sex classes in the co-ed school settings in other school districts.
No red flags, let me put it that way. We found very positive comments by the principal, the teachers, the few parents and students that we interviewed. No indication that there were any serious problems.
Stotsky's exploratory study, to be published in the Journal of School Choice this winter, searched for both positive and negative dynamics in non-co-ed classrooms.
We know girls do less well in math than boys, and we know that boys do less well in reading and writing than girls. So the question is, are there benefits for either sex or both sexes?
Educators also acknowledge long-held gender reading preferences, although those preferences are changing, Stotsky said.
Girls, as I say, like to read about fictional relationships, some fantasy stories. Boys do like nonfiction. This is a very clear preference. They like stories about sports. They like stories about exploits, adventures, wartime, battles.
Plus, girls act differently than boys.
Any mother who's had, or parent who's had children over the years will know that little girls can sit for long periods of time, read, or play school, play hospital, or play with dolls in carriages or little beds, you know, and little boys don't necessarily want to do this sort of thing. Sandbox play, there are some differences, even when you try to put them all together in the same sandbox and insist that, you know, the girls play with trucks or whatever it is. These differences just occur.
Professor Sandra Stotsky says more exploration of single-sex education is needed in the face of rising demand.
The classes wouldn't be there unless the principal, the parents, and the teachers voluntarily wanted them.
An op-ed article published this month in the Wall Street Journal revealed an unusual bipartisan congressional alliance in support of single-gender education. But critics, like the American Council for Co-Educational Schooling, say single-sex classes are ineffective, claiming mixed-gender classrooms embrace diversity, promote cross-gender cooperation and friendships. And last May, the American Civil Liberties Union sent cease and desist letters to school districts in five states saying same-sex classrooms enforce stereotypes, limit opportunities, and violates children's civil rights. In response to a lawsuit brought by the ACLU, a federal court in West Virginia ordered a middle school to go back to co-education this school year. But Siloam Springs Southside Elementary principal Dan Siemens disagrees with critics.
Well, there are people in powerful places that, even politicians, that think that any kind of choice that a parent might have in public education is totally wrong. Now, if you talk to the parents of these boys, the parents of the girls in these classes that we have here, they would tell you the opposite. They love the choice. They appreciate the choice.
Plus, he said, in his school, an increasing number of students prefer single-gender classes.
The students just love it. They love the all-boys classes. They love the all-girls class. And we have done questionnaires, surveys, if you will, talking to the students about why do you like an all-boys class? Why do you like being in an all-girls class? And it's amazing how the answers are similar. The boys will say, there's no girls in here to mess up our class. Well, they just talk too much, and they just mess things up. Now, I'm generalizing here. But the girls say the same thing about the boys. You ask, girls, why do you like an all-girls class? Well, the boys come in. They're just so sloppy. They just mess things up in this class. And so it's amazing how the comfort level in an all-boys or all-girls class is there.
So for now, this big experiment in public education will continue. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.